Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Next week, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will hold a closed-door three-day meeting in Juneau to discuss long-term solution options for glacial outburst floods in the Mendenhall Valley. Federal agencies, local officials, and researchers will participate. During the meeting, the group will discuss the pros and cons of five options to prevent homes from flooding in the coming years. Those options are 1. A dam at the outlet of Mendenhall Lake, 2. A permanent levee, 3. A lake tap or tunnel through the mountains to drain Suicide Basin, 4. A bypass channel through the Mendenhall River floodplain, or 5. Relocating impacted residents from the valley. The Army Corps will host the multi-day meeting at the Huddle in the Mendenhall Mall December 9th through the 11th. Army Corps spokesperson John Budnick wrote in an email that the meeting will be closed to the public, but press briefings will be held there after each day. The Army Corps also plans to publish a report summarizing the meeting for the public in January. The Army Corps solicited public input during a month-long public comment period, which closed last week, and received 34 comments. Two options received more attention in those comments than others. The first is a lake tap or tunnel meant to drain Suicide Basin before it can fill to the point of bursting. The second is a dam or levee at the outlet of Mendenhall Lake. A few commenters favored a bypass channel through the floodplain. Many said that finding a solution is urgent for the hundreds who face annual flooding. The current levee, made of HESCO barriers, is temporary and protected homes from catastrophe by a slim margin during the flood in August. The agency aims to recommend a long-term flood solution and design it by the end of May 2026. And Budnick anticipates the public will have another opportunity to provide comments on the prospective solution in June of 2026. The City and Borough of Juneau is seeking ideas from Juneau residents about how to spend the fees paid by cruise ship passengers this year. More than $20 million is expected to be available for tourism-related projects. Juneau residents and businesses can now submit proposals to the city through the end of this month. Last year, the funding paid for things like free public Wi-Fi downtown and increased bus service to the Mendenhall Valley. Alex Pierce, the city's visitor industry director, says community suggestions play a critical role in what gets funded and what doesn't.
We do get a lot of good ideas for what residents are feeling the need for in the community, and not spending general fund on our waterfront infrastructure and our visitor services does free up elsewhere in the city to do other things.
Every cruise season, the city collects a $5 fee from each passenger who comes into town from a ship. The fees can fund tourism projects that benefit visitors and locals in Juneau. In the past, these fees have funded upgrades to downtown public restrooms and improvements at Marine Park. The city expects to collect about $22 million in fees this year, but the money collected can't go towards paying for just anything. A lawsuit the cruise industry filed and settled with the city in 2019 puts limits on how and where the city can use the funds, and some projects require approval by the industry. Pierce says that people often don't understand those parameters, and that leads to a lot of proposals being rejected.
It's unfortunately not money that's just available to fill the hole in the city budget. We are restricted in how we use those funds.
Usually the projects are downtown near the waterfront area, where the impacts of tourism are felt the most. But other parts of town can still secure funding for projects, like near the Mendenhall Glacier, as long as tourism reaches that area and the project would benefit tourism. Residents can submit their suggestions for projects in a few different ways. The city has a web forum where people can submit proposals. It outlines what type of projects would fit the criteria. The assembly will ultimately decide which projects to fund during the spring budget cycle. And the CEO of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska is stepping down. Lisa Gassman has resigned after 2 decades in the top management position. Sitka Kwan Sitka Tribe of Alaska announced her resignation in a press release posted on social media on Monday morning. In the release, Tribal Chair Yedi Kuka said, quote, "We're grateful for Lisa's calm, steady leadership of STA over the past few decades," unquote. She wished Gassman the best and noted her service through particularly challenging times, like the coronavirus pandemic and the financial crisis in the early 2000s. Gassman is an attorney who studied law at the University of Washington. She served as the tribe's general manager from 2000 to 2011, and again from 2016 to 2024, when her title was updated to chief executive officer. The tribal council has hired Rob Allen to serve as interim general manager. Allen, a tribal citizen and lifelong Sitkin, has served as both the CEO of Sitka Community Hospital and the president of Allen Marine Tours. According to the tribe, Allen has provided his interim executive services as a consultant for the Anchorage-based 4-Acre Group. The tribe is working with the 4-Acre Group as it begins its search for the next general manager. KCAW reached out to Gassman for comment. And 10 years ago, the state of Alaska signed an agreement with British Columbia that sought to give Alaskans a say in the development of mines upstream of Southeast Alaska. Environmental advocates say Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration has walked away from key pillars of that agreement, but state officials say they remain committed to keeping cross-border rivers clean. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone has more.
It is a boom time for mines in British Columbia, and there are a few reasons for that: the rise of renewable energy and the growing importance of microchips, and of course, President Trump's trade war. Provincial leaders have fast-tracked a variety of resource development projects, including some proposed mines upstream of communities in southeast Alaska.
The majority of this region is staked with mining claims.
That's Brianna Walker with the group Salmon Beyond Borders, which has campaigned for stricter limits on mines near rivers that cross into southeast Alaska. 10 years ago, Governor Bill Walker signed an agreement with the Premier of British Columbia that he said would give Alaskans a greater voice in the future of BC mines. It led to the creation of a working group where senior officials in Alaska and BC would meet twice a year to discuss mining and the environment. Brianna Walker says that was a reason for optimism, but she says in the years since, the Dunleavy administration has failed to live up to those commitments. She points to a few issues, including the Dunleavy administration's decision to discontinue water quality monitoring on cross-border rivers in 2021. She'd also like to see meetings between provincial and state leaders include other stakeholders, like Alaska tribes and fishermen. Walker points in particular to pollution at a mine near Hyder at the state's southeastern tip.
Alaskans learned about that pollution through the media. They did not learn about that from the state or from the province of British Columbia. And that's a clear example, in my opinion, of how the state is abdicating the responsibility that they have to Alaskans.
The Dunleavy administration disagrees. State officials point to web pages maintained by the state and by BC detailing the ongoing work between the two governments. And they say the water quality monitoring that ended in 2021 duplicated similar efforts at the federal level. Sam Dapsovich at the State Department of Environmental Conservation says the state has continued to advocate for Alaskans' interests at working group meetings. Just last month, at the most recent cross-border meeting, Dapsovich says the Alaska delegation asked for an update on the cleanup of the Tulsiquitchief mine, which has been polluting the Taku River near Juneau for decades. And in response, the company working on cleanup is planning to hold a public webinar in early December.
And I just want people to understand that our agencies are deeply involved between the two governments advocating for cleanup, and we're using shared science to protect these rivers.
Dapsovich says the state remains committed to ensuring Alaskans' voices aren't lost in the process. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And you're listening to Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. Svetlana Bell moved to Juneau from Ukraine after a few years of seasonal work to marry her husband and send more money back to her family. Bell cleans houses during the day, but in the evening, she spends hours quilting. Her quilts are intricate and full of color, with soft, curved lines. She sells her quilts, which are based on works by Ukrainian artist Lubov Penchenko, to raise money for supplies for her brother, who's fighting in the front lines in Ukraine.
I do these numbers for myself to make a plan. What is first piece to another and how connection? It's like eat elephant in small pieces, you know. Make all together and it's it. It's just like a Lego for me. Yes. I'm Svetlana Bell. This design, Lyubov Panchenko, Ukrainian artist, she wasn't so famous because in Soviet Union you cannot be different. It was a different time, but she made a lot of beautiful pieces, and right now they are in a museum in Kyiv. She died in 2022 in Bucha, when it was occupied by Russians, and she was starving because she cannot leave house. It was very difficult time. Yes, and when I find her these designs, I contact with that museum. I ask, can I try? Because I'm just learning to do quilt. I do only 3 years. I clean houses. I see a lot of blankets or stuff and think, I should try it. And Lyubov Panchenko's design, I asked permission, they approved it and said, please try it, do it. And it's so, I was so happy. So I'm very excited. I hope someday we'll finish there and I will bring some of the best pieces to that museum. You know, I have to rush because I know if I sell, I can send money. If you have somebody who you love, you will do anything. And of course, how I can help brother here. He is in like all Ukraine in difficult time now, and he do what he has to do. But you always in risk. I can show you some pictures they make. Here they look very tired, and you see they just came back from a front line for a couple days to rest. Drones, mines, shootings that can just with one shoot can destroy all car and everybody in. Yeah, it's very scary. Sometimes like we don't breathe and waiting when he will back, and he said, I'm safe now, because yeah, war is war. I think every immigrant, even before war, from another countries, made such a huge decision, especially women who has kids. This is, they are so brave. You need to be so brave to be immigrant. It's America. It's a lot of cultures here. It's make this America beautiful and big and strong.
That was Svetlana Bell, who will be showing her quilts at Changing Tides this Friday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. during Gallery Walk. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 41 degrees and raining. We're expecting some more rain tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow night, that might taper off a little bit, but it's supposed to pick up again over the day on Friday, and it might turn into a rain and snow combination on Friday night into Saturday and Sunday. This is KTOO.